Verse 12, it says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city." Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take of the water of life without cost. And he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen." Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you for allowing us and giving us the right to become children of God, that we can be counted amongst those who are your family, your children, clean, clean by the blood of Jesus, cleansed and placed in you, that our lives are hid with you, hid with Christ in God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
You know, you guys, I can see why you like to just keep going and going, because when, that's fine. When you're in the glory, who wants to... Wonderful, wonderful. There's a scripture in Romans that says, through him we have access to this grace in which we stand. And I hope you're standing in the grace right now. Tom was saying last night about the grace of God, this grace, just that I'm alive, that I can breathe. That's the grace of God. Evidence of his grace towards us. Just the fact that we're here. A wonderful thing. Jacob had an encounter with God. And after that encounter, it says he had a limp as he left that place. And that limp was a reminder of his encounter. But as he left that place, he just, I saw God and I'm alive. I'm still here. How can that be? Well, that was the grace of God. And I'm sure that many of you, most of you, maybe all of you, have had encounters with God in your lives. And yet, you're still here. You've met God, and you're still here. That's the grace of God. Through him, we have access. The other side of the coin on that is the word access. You have access means that you have to access your access. You have to take advantage of. You have to reach out for it. Step into it. Go into that place you're invited to go. We have a great high priest who has gone into the holy place and opened it up for us, but now we're invited, come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, we have to come. There is a step that has to be taken. Step of faith. Anyway. Just some stuff stirring in my heart. It's been our privilege last night and throughout today. We've had Chuck Porta and Tom Fox and the Lord ministering to us through them. And it's been good. It's been encouraging. And And I think we're going to hear from Tom tonight. Is that, or Chuck? Chuck, you're a, see, we, you know, a month ago I wrote up a schedule. Not because it was of the Lord, but simply because something needed to go on paper that day. And I knew that. As I wrote it, I knew that. Lord, I'm just doing this because it needs to get on the paper. People need to have something to look at. But it doesn't mean that it's written by the finger of God in stone. That's just... So, anyway, we make... The Lord adjusts us as we go on. And the results are usually pretty good when the Lord's doing it.
Hallelujah. How are we doing? Can you hear me? Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been a full day. I feel full. And yet there's more tonight that I believe the Lord has for us. So I'm going to pray also. And just want to be sensitive to His voice. You know, when you speak for 36 years, you got a lot of stuff in the barn. And you got to really be careful what you bring out. And you just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because only He can make a word come alive. He's the Spirit of truth. And He takes the word on pages and He can put it in your heart and, more importantly, in your lifestyle. Wow. And then you begin to live this. Experience it. And overcome. Who wants to overcome? I don't want to have grace to get by. I want to have grace to overcome. And really go for it. So Father, help me, Lord. Help us. We commit this time of Your Word into Your hands. Thank You for all that You've already done and will do. And Lord, we count it a privilege to be in Your presence and to break Your bread. And we thank You that You are awesome and that You will finish what You have started in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Let's start in John chapter 7, kind of where we ended this afternoon. We'll talk a bit about that river, water, speaking. John chapter 7, Jesus prophesying, speaking on the day of a tabernacle season in October. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, have you ever pictured that? I guess we did have a picture. Water flowing out of your innermost being. In the original, it literally means belly. This is down here. Down here is where that river is, and it wants out. Then there's also a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. That scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. That's how you overcome. It's not you. It's who's inside of you. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15, John has this incredible revelation of Jesus Christ. And the last part of verse 15 says, the word of the Lord is as many waters. See, I look at greater is He that is in me. Well, how does that look? I mean, is Christ in there kind of getting ready to duke it out with the devil? What's the deal? I hear that scripture about out of my innermost being flows rivers of living water. What does that really look like? What it's all about is the Word coming out of your spirit, out of your belly, and when the Word of God coming out of you is greater than the Word of the devil coming at you, you overcome. You have an enemy who is called the accuser of the brethren. How does he do that? He tries to speak to your heart. He tries to speak to your mind. He does it every day. You got him trying to speak through other misguided Christians sometimes. and they give you bogus words, false counsel, lies, critical spirits. You're getting bombarded. You are designed to hear. The issue is not whether or not we hear. The issue is what's really got a foothold in your life. Who's got the stronger voice inside of your heart? How big is that river flowing? How is it really coming out? Now, I want to tie that in then with this whole issue of speaking. I want to tie it in with tongues. Speaking in tongues. Because the first manifestation, I am convinced, of that river is speaking in tongues. So let's look in our Bible to Mark chapter 16. And I want you to hang in there with me. And if you don't speak in tongues, this is your night. Please, do not leave unless you are speaking in tongues. Do you have to? No. You're allowed to. When we get done, you will be allowed to, and you will have. And the rest of you who have been speaking, God wants to change things up a bit. He's tired of hearing the same thing for the last 15 years. So He wants a new tongue. There are tongues for intercession. There are tongues for prayer. There are tongues for worship. There are tongues when interpreted that are actually a prophecy. There are vertical tongues and horizontal tongues. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's all right. I always do it. That's the river going up. That doesn't need to be interpreted. God knows what you're speaking. Then you got horizontal tongues. That's the tongues when you speak to one another in a tongue. Paul says you better interpret that because then it becomes a prophecy. And if you're not interpreting it properly, he said, don't even waste time speaking in tongues horizontally. Just start prophesying. Edify the church. Edify the church. We don't have to edify God. He's very confident. And basically, when we go up with the river and we're speaking in the Spirit to the river, you're not only speaking in the Spirit to God, you're also at times speaking to the God of this world who's still resident in the second heaven. And from time to time, He needs to be addressed by you, put in His place, disarmed fully, and that you can actually counteract whatever He's trying to come at you with. You go after Him. And once you begin to pray in tongues, then it's not a fair fight. All right? So Mark 16. Now, here's the deal. Here's the principle I use in understanding the Bible. When you want to understand a concept sometimes, a teaching, sometimes it's called the principle of first mention. You got to be heads up. Worship, first mention is when? Genesis 22, Abraham. Worship, foundationally, has nothing to do with guitars, drums, singing, and dancing. Worship, foundationally, has everything to do with blood, a knife, a fire, and a sacrifice. And our Davidic worship will not be authoritative, super anointed, releasing power if Abrahamic worship first hasn't been established in our hearts. Abrahamic worship is apostolic worship. Davidic worship is prophetic worship. And foundationally, for the house of God to really have a house of worship, you have to have not just Davidic worship, but Abrahamic worship. So the first mention of worship is Genesis 22. First mention of speaking in tongues in the New Testament is not the book Acts. It's not Paul. It's not the apostles. It's Jesus Christ. So I would submit to you, let's listen up. Here's what he says. Mark 16. Turn in your Bibles if you will. I'm not mad. Fired up. I get fired up. My wife says, don't be angry. I'm not angry. Relax. Come on, lighten up. Have a good time. I'm going to speak in tongues later on. I'm going to sing in tongues. We're going to corporately sing in the Spirit because God's bringing that back to the house. There's a generation that has lost the ability to sing in the Spirit. They need to be retrained, refilled, and understand the dynamics of receiving and releasing the prophetic song of the Lord. It will release creative stuff. Tim, in the worship, you get in there, and then at some point, you got to forget about the song list. What is this? What is this? This just gets you started. And you forget about that. And you begin to flow. You get in the river. You chord. It's not even a definable song. It's just courting. It's just flowing. And you get in the river. See, most worship services, they portage. Portage is a drag. You know what portage is? You work your butt up in the canoe, you go in the water, and then you come to land. And you got to get out of the canoe, carry the canoe over the piece of land strip, and then you get back in the water, and then you go to another song. Then you portage, and that's that quiet time in between songs. That's portaging. That's a killer to worship services. Come on, body of Christ, you should be filled with God. You should be filled with the voice of God. You should be filled with the word of the Lord. So in between songs, if the worship team's trying to catch the wind of the Spirit, figuring out what to sing next, we're there. Thank you, Jesus. Bless God. Praise. You're staying in the flow. Okay? This is not a funeral service. This is a celebration service. Releasing the word of God. Somebody say amen or oh my. Where's my water? We're going to keep going until we run out of water. Like what my friend told me one time, he said, "Brother, you better make sure you don't get a cold and lose your voice. You're going to have to get a real job." Praise God. Where was I? Mark 16, Jesus Christ speaking. This is a very simple, powerful declaration of who a believer is. Of who a believer is. Verse 16, he has believed. How many here have believed? And who has been baptized? Who's been baptized? Full immersion. If you haven't been fully immersed in baptism, you need to do it quickly. That's the baptism that God honors. That's the baptism that gets you delivered sometimes. That's the baptism that buries you. That's the baptism that Paul calls a circumcision or cutting away of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. That thing is powerful. All right. This is not about baptism, though. Water. Shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs, say it with me, signs, will accompany those who have believed. All right. Who's believed? All right. In my name, they will cast out demons. Look out, demons. That is a privilege of a believer. That is normal for a believer. That is part and parcel of what it means to a believer. My spiritual father, Costa Deer, used to introduce himself this way many times. My name is Costa Deer. I love God. Demons tremble in my presence. And he was dead serious. One time he went to a city for revival. He was on a hill outside of a fairly large city. He commanded every demon in that city, "I command in Jesus' name," true story, "every demon in this city to come to my car right now." And the car started shaking. There was screeching going on. There was all manner of stuff. And we're listening to this story, and we said, "Costa, then what'd you do?" "I bound every one of them, told them where to go, and went into town and had a major, massive revival." One time I'm walking in Africa, in the jungle. A 75-foot demon manifested in front of them, bent over, huge, and absolutely went nose to nose with Costa Deer. "You're not going into that village and preach the gospel." We said, "Costa, what did you do?" "I tore that demon apart and I went into that village. We had massive, major revival." Hallelujah. In my name, they will cast out demons. Parents, your children don't have to be terrorized at night. Your children don't have to go through nightmares at night. Your house can be filled with peace. Your house should not be filled with torment. You have the authority as a believer to cast out demons. All right. The second thing is they will speak with new tongues. That's normal for a believer. Now, I want to emphasize it again. This is Jesus Christ talking. This is not optional. Don't get caught up with some of the foolishness out there. Do I have to? Should I? They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. Now, that's a strange. He's not talking about snake handlers in West Virginia. He's talking about believers who can go into the most poisonous atmospheres of the world and society around, that are infected with darkness, that are infected with demonic deception and pollution. And as a believer, you can go in there speaking in tongues and it will not affect you. You will be an exporter of the kingdom rather than an importer of what the world's all about. Oh, and furthermore, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. All right, now here's what I've been dealing with, because I've been in spirit-filled stuff since 1972. I started pastoring in 75. We got it on. I was kind of a wild guy leading worship. And we're going to the throne. And we need presence. We want strong presence. We want prophesying going on every week. And I'm not talking about soulless prophecy. I'm talking about prophecy from heaven. I'm talking about prophecy flowing out of the Spirit. And we would have prolonged seasons of singing in the Spirit. One night I had a men's meeting on Monday nights in my home. We sang in the Spirit for an hour and a half. It seemed like 5 minutes. People started getting slain in the Spirit. I looked over at my assistant pastor. All of a sudden, crash, he's out. My blind worship leader came up to me at the end of that meeting and gave me a prophecy. He said, a year from now, you're going to have a son. My wife was done. We had three girls. She was done. And I got this prophetic word from my worship leader after this prolonged hour and a half of in the Spirit, really getting into the heart of God, really flowing. And after an hour and a half of singing in the Spirit that seemed like 5 minutes, the presence of God was so thick you could hardly stand. Everybody was kind of drunk in the Spirit, to be honest with you. Kind of wobbly, hanging on to stuff. Whoa, this is something else. And we're just having a time. And I get this word and I go up to my wife. I said, honey, God just gave me a prophecy next year at this time. Now, she's done having kids, right? I said, honey, God just gave me a word. I mean, it's a word from heaven. This time next year, we're going to have a son. She said, get yourself a concubine. She was done. A year later, Dan was born. It was the word of the Lord. It was the word of the Lord. That's why singing in the Spirit releases prophetic in the meeting. Singing in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, is always a precursor to prophesying. They are like hand in glove. Why has prophecy dried up in the house? Because tongues has dried up in the house. It's not complicated, church. It's very simple. And God wants and will have a major revival of praying, worshiping, and singing in the Spirit. Starting with Sunday morning! Forget this foolishness that singing in the Spirit is offensive to the unlearned. It'll bring them to their knees. They will declare, God is in your midst. The presence of God. I'm so far ahead of myself. This is ridiculous. This is like 0.8. This should be coming about an hour and 5 minutes from now. Why am I on it now? How do I know? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, I speak in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. People have misinterpreted 1 Corinthians 14. They think Paul's negative towards tongues. He's not negative towards tongues at all. He's just bringing a little bit of order to a public meeting. He's just saying, I'd rather have you prophesy than speak in tongues. He said, yeah, it is kind of silly if that's all you do is to go up to somebody. No, that's not vertical. You're horizontal. He said, don't do that. Somebody comes in and watches that kind of behavior. He said, what are these people? Are nuts. He said, no. If you're going to sing in the Spirit, go for it. If you're going to pray in the Spirit, go for it. I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit. I will prophesy in the Spirit. I will worship in the Spirit. Go for it. You got to think vertical, horizontal here. Vertical, horizontal. Vertical doesn't need to be interpreted. Are you tracking with me? Vertical doesn't need to be interpreted. God knows what you're singing. God knows what you're praying. But when you go horizontal and you're going to begin to minister, now the body speaks to one another through the gifts of the Spirit, the voice gifts. He said to keep it as simple and as basic as possible, just prophesy. But if someone does speak in tongues, just make sure that's interpreted. Okay? Then somebody will come up with 1 Corinthians 12. Do all speak in tongues? And then they use that as a catch-all, because then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I would that you would all speak in tongues. Now, either Paul is incredibly confused, or you got to understand what he's trying to communicate here. There are people that actually have a ministry horizontally more than others to prophesy and to speak in tongues. But in terms of the vertical speaking in the Spirit, everybody's supposed to do that. Mark 16 can't get any more plainer. They all will speak in tongues if they believe in me, says Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Why would you allow the enemy to keep robbing you? Because that's what he is. A robber. A thief. Trying to trip you up. Then all of a sudden, I've read Mark 16 for 35, 40 years. Just within the last 2 weeks, because here's been my burden. Why has the devil picked on tongues so much? Why has he singled out that gift? Because he's afraid of it. He's afraid of Christians who speak in tongues. He's petrified of believers who consistently speak in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Because they're tapping in. They're in the flow. They got the rivers flowing out of them. They're overcoming. They're taking it to hell. Greater is he who is in them, coming out of them through the gifts of the Spirit and the voice of God and the word of the Lord, and it overcomes the devil. Isn't it ironic that first mention of tongues is sandwiched between casting out demons and protection from the demonic and healing in the power of God? Isn't it ironic that tongues is right in the middle of casting out demons and healing the sick? Should we not be shocked that the devil would try to silence tongues in the body of Christ? Well, let's let the scriptures speak for themselves. We're going to illustrate it in just a couple of ways, and then we're going to just open up the altars and lay hands on one another and start speaking and start vertically going for it and prophesying over one another and getting filled with God and releasing the word of the Lord. Acts 2. Acts 2. This can't get any more simple. Day of Pentecost. Here he comes. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. What is the word for wind in the Greek? Spirit. That wind and spirit, that's the interpretation of the Greek word pneuma. Right? Pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. Breath. Wind. So here comes the wind to heaven. How many of the believers got filled? All of them got filled. How many of them spoke? How many spoke in tongues? All of them. You know what? All at once. See, that's totally vertical there. That's not two or three in order, walk it out, speak in tongues, interpret, speak in tongues, interpret. No, 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 no. 120 are releasing the sound of heaven. 120 are extolling the greatness of God. 120 are reaching out to God and praising God with all their hearts. 120 are reaching into the very throne room of heaven, praying in the Spirit. Acts 10. Peter's preaching in the house of Cornelius. Acts 10. He's preaching. He's there on divine assignment as an apostle. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did." Now, here's an order that's throughout the Bible. You always get born again first, obviously. But in terms of getting baptized with the Spirit of God or baptized with water by immersion, that can vary. Some people get water baptized first, then they get filled with the Spirit of God. Here they got filled with the Spirit of God first, then they got water baptized. You got to have three baptisms. Actually, there's five in the New Testament, but you want to make sure you have three. You'll probably have to deal with four eventually, because it's the baptism of suffering. Then you got the baptism of John. That's no longer in vogue because Jesus Christ is now baptizing with the Spirit of God and with fire. And then the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ when you got born again. And then later on, Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. They actually switch roles. And then you get water baptized. And you got three witnesses that witness to this whole deal. And the blood, you're baptized into the blood and you're born again. And the blood speaks to the Father. And the Father looks down and says, righteous. Passover. Cleansed. That's good. Then you go and get into that water. And that water is a witness to the world. That water baptism, one of its functions is a sign outwardly that you have identified yourself with Jesus Christ. It's more than that, but that's also a major function. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the witness to you. And so you'll hear this testimony a lot with people who've been saved for years, then all of a sudden, and water baptized, then they get baptized and filled with the Spirit of God. And you know what? A very common testimony we used to hear back in the 70s, early 80s, when the Spirit of God was really being poured out. Now I really know that I'm a child of God, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with my spirit that I'm really a child of God. And so in Acts 10, they all are filled with the Spirit of God, and they all spoke with tongues. Acts 19, Paul comes to Ephesus. God has to get Apollos out of there because he's the number two guy. He can't take on Ephesus. He'll have his butt handed to him. Send him off to Corinth so he can build on another man's foundation, which is fine. That's valid. So God's got to get Apollos out of there. Now he gets his man there called Paul. Paul finds 12 disciples. He listens to them pray. He listens to them worshiping. He listens to them ministering. Maybe the word of the Lord one to another. And he says, oh my. Houston, we got a problem here. And he's wise. Rather than drill them with a kind of critical whatever, he just asks a question. He said, have you received the Spirit since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard. All right. Well, let's get this on. And so he prays for them. And what does it say in Acts 19? And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands upon them. The Holy Spirit came on them. And they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Now, here you got speaking in tongues and prophesying added to them. So out of their innermost being are flowing some serious words. Words of the Spirit. Words from heaven. Supernatural words. Words that are coming out and sounding like tongues. Now, here's the deal. The devil will always come with a lie when you start speaking in tongues and say, you just made that up. Who's ever heard that? I had a few syllables when I first started speaking in tongues, and the devil, it was almost a universal lie. You would think he'd get a bit more creative. It basically was, you just made that up. That's jibber-jabber. You just made that up. You ever listen to a baby when they first start speaking in the natural? I mean, it's not necessarily King James English. It's not talking like Shakespeare or anything. No, you keep exercising. As you grow in the Spirit and as you grow in the natural, your language develops, and then your language can change. Here's the point. Very simple. Jesus Christ says, he who believes in me will speak in new tongues. Acts 2 says they were all filled with the Spirit and they all spoke in tongues. Acts 10 says they were all filled with the Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Acts 19 says they were all filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues, and they also prophesied. Paul says, and I would that you would all speak in tongues, and oh, by the way, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, you can listen to your church tradition. You can listen to the bogus interpretations and twisting of scriptures. You can listen to the lie that the gifts have ceased after the first century, which justifies unbelief. Or you can just agree with the Word of God, like a humble, simple child. Here's where I'm coming from. In the last days, what's the first thing that's going to be happening? Deception, big time. Hell's going to unleash all kind of forces. It's going to get pretty hairy, to be honest with you. We need all the firepower we can get. We need to be speaking in tongues like never before. I'll tell you what, I speak in tongues at least 90% versus 10% in English. I don't trust my mind. I trust my spirit. I don't necessarily pray the will of God with my mind. That can be very deceptive. But I know, according to Romans 8, I pray according to the Spirit of God, and I pray in the will of God. And so I trust the fella in the cellar rather than the fanatic in the attic. You got to live out of your spirit. If your brain catches up, so be it. All right? If your brain catches up, fine. Make no mistake about it, though. Paul was a feeler. Paul was an experiencer. Paul lived in his spirit. He flowed out of his spirit. I pray in tongues more than you all. I pray in tongues more than you all. He also says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. To me, it's a slam dunk. It's a slam dunk. And why the enemy has been able to rob Christians? And it's one thing for somebody to believe whatever that is not for today. What's really breaking my heart, and I believe God's heart, is for people who know better. Who people have already been there and now have regressed. Have backed off as if the ministry of the Holy Spirit is somehow embarrassing. We got to put a governor on the Holy Spirit because his ministry is too embarrassing or threatening. What a lie from the pit of hell. Singing in the Spirit. I was in my hometown preaching in a Catholic charismatic meeting. Somebody say amen or oh my. You know what? Amen, oh my. The Spirit of God fell in that meeting. We got into a prolonged session of singing in the Spirit. I would say at least 20 to 30 minutes. You know what happens when you sing in the Spirit long like that? Presence gets thicker. Presence gets thicker. You know what happens when the presence of God gets thicker? You just might get healed. If you got any demons in your heart that can't stand, they got to go. You know what singing in the Spirit is to a demon? It's like chalk on a. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. You think they enjoy that? I'm telling you, you torment them. You absolutely torment them. And so basically, we were singing in the Spirit for about 20 to 30 minutes. Halfway into singing in the Spirit, my friend came in who came to listen to me preach. He was born again, but he wasn't Spirit-filled. Guess what? He's the music teacher in the school district. He taught school and music in the school district for over 30 years, retired. He and I are good friends. We golf together. After that meeting, he came up to me and he says, Chuck, I've been teaching choirs, training choirs, leading in music for many, many, many years. How did you teach perfect harmony to these people? That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. How'd you do that? Please tell me how you did it. I'll take it back to my school. I said, that's from heaven, brother. That's the choir director from heaven orchestrating the symphony. The gifts of the Spirit do not turn off hungry unbelievers. It attracts them. It's magnetic. I'm pastoring New Testament Church in 1984 in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. We had a bell ringer of a service. Presence, worship leader, praise God, hit the Spirit. I hit the Spirit with the Word. Worship leader hit the Spirit with worship. Prophesying all over the house. Presence of God thick. I had a guy come up to me after the service weeping. Tears going down his cheeks. He's an older guy. He said, young man, I'm dying of cancer. I have visited every church in Eden Prairie. What was that I felt as soon as I walked through your doors? And then it, he had no clue, it got stronger when you sang. And then when you sang at the end, after you spoke, it almost took my breath away. Please tell me, what was that? I said, sir, that's the presence of God. He said, isn't it wonderful? He got saved, water baptized, filled with God. We prayed for healing. Didn't happen. I preached his funeral. His wife was there. They joined the church. We had an awesome time. That's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. That's what my music teacher... And I could give you more and more testimony after that. I mean, it's awesome. The presence of God. Church, you're spirit-filled. Act like it. Flow in it. Pray in the Spirit. We have become self-conscious. We once were self-conscious. We got a bit free and got God-conscious. And now we went inverted back and we're self-conscious. Forget all that stuff. True worship is you lose your self-consciousness and you get God-conscious and you get caught up and you begin to flow in the Spirit. You're enamored with Jesus Christ. This is crucial. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water. He who is speaking in and through you is greater than he who is trying to speak at you. He who speaks in tongues will have authority to cast out demons. You will have authority over the enemy that you will not have if you do not speak in tongues. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. The scriptures are pretty clear. Now let's look at David. This whole thing about prophesying and speaking out of your spirit. He is dealing with some serious stuff that day. But here's the good news. What happened was Goliath is taunting the armies of God. Saul and the army is paralyzed. Because the voice coming at Saul and his army was greater than what was operating in Saul. They were therefore neutralized to inaction. And then all of a sudden, David shows up. And the devil doesn't realize there's a different set of ears in the house who is listening differently. You see, what was different with David is because of his worship and flowing in the Spirit and being prophetic and presence of God, the voice of God in David was stronger than the voice that was coming at David. And so David's in the camp now, and all of a sudden it says when Goliath does his taunt thing, there's a different set of ears in the camp. And David heard the taunt, rather than allow that taunt to paralyze him into inactivity, David went ballistic. He went furious. Who in the world is this uncircumcised guy to defy the armies of God? Then you got David getting bombarded with bad thoughts, bad words, accusation, criticism. His older brother rips him apart. Saul ministers total unbelief. You're too young. You can't do it. If you are going to do it, put on my armor. And then he's got to face Goliath himself, who curses David. And Goliath gives David a prophecy. Come here, you little worm. Come here, you little dog. I'm going to feed you to the birds today. And that was the prophecy from Goliath to David. David says, hey, listen, you come to me with whatever you want to come. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to you in the name of the living God. I come to you with the word of the Lord. And you prophesy to me, I'm going to prophesy to you now. I will deliver you and cut your head off, and I will smite you and smote you. Well, who's got the real goods? Whose prophecy is stronger, hell's or heaven's? What word is stronger in your life on a consistent basis? Heaven, or has the enemy gained a foothold in your life with his lies, his accusations, his spirits of fear, his spirits of condemnation, his spirits of all kind of whatever? No way. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world, and greater is he speaking out of me than he who is trying to curse at me, and I'm on the offensive, and I'm taking it to the devil, and I'm going to speak in tongues. I tell you what, I had a time last Thursday, I'm getting ready for my Thursday night class, and see, I had to have my own personal revival. I used to speak in tongues really a lot years ago, and then you kind of back off. You back off when you're in the car. You can listen to foolishness or you can pray in tongues. Costa Deer used to pray in tongues in his sleep. I'm serious. Wherever he walked, he was always praying in the Spirit. And so the Lord's just giving me this fresh hunger and this fresh thirst. And he's saying, come on, son, and tell the church. Get the church flowing back in the river again. Get the church back to basics. Get the church back to foundations. This baby's wrapping up. This is end times. All the stops are going to be pulled out of hell. They're going to come at you big time. You got to have something in you that is stronger than what's coming at you. It's not complicated. Greater is He speaking in and through me than He was trying to speak at me. Therefore, my mind can be free. How many of you get bad thoughts? Guys, how many of you get bad thoughts? You know what happens to those bad thoughts as soon as you start speaking in tongues? What do? They flee. They flee. What happens when those emotional things come? Or what happens when the enemy's trying to get that little foothold? You start praying in tongues. My wife got a bad report. You got cancer. Doctor's crying. She's crying. Everybody's crying. 2002. You get all kind of fear coming. Oh, what am I going to do? Well, the daughter of the king went home. I dropped her off, did some errands, came back a half hour later. The house is filled with worship. The daughter of the king is on her knees with her hands raised up, singing in the Spirit, singing in God. And all of a sudden, the daughter of the king is meeting the king. And the life that's flowing out of her is greater than the life that is come, that the demonic that's trying to come at her. Church, this isn't complicated. We just got to get free. We got to get rid of this foolishness. We got to get rid of this deceptiveness. We got to get rid of this stuff that's come into the Spirit-filled church that is so off course that it's just, well, you get my point. Stand with me right now. Worship team, come on. Hallelujah. Look at here's Peter in Acts chapter 4. He just healed this guy. Acts chapter 4. And by the way, would you agree with me now? There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who can actually remember the day you got baptized with the Spirit of God? Raise your hands if you can remember. All right. Do you understand? No, there's more than one filling. In fact, you know how often God wants to fill you? Every day. Absolutely every day. And so basically, here's what's happening in Acts chapter 4. We'll get into this. I guess we won't have to have Sunday school. We're already going through the chapters. I sleep in tomorrow, Rocky. Hallelujah. Bless God. Verse 7, and when they had placed him in the center. Here's persecution coming at him because of the healing. And when they had placed him in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, did you catch that now? They're coming at Peter with accusation. They're coming at Peter with defiance. They're coming at Peter with a critical spirit. Why'd you heal that guy? What's going on here? Peter, and here's the original language, filled, having just been filled. Peter said. If I am filled, try this. Try to talk and breathe in at the same time. Go ahead. Try it. Why doesn't it work? Now, this is really simple. This is not complicated. I don't got Greek for this. This is just, for me, so practical. You know what you've been hearing for the last 45 minutes? Chuck Porter's hot air. I've been blowing hot air at you. That's all it is. That's all words are, is hot air. You take in a breath, a wind, a pneuma, and your lungs force it out, goes over your vocal cords, and what you're hearing right now in your ears is my hot air. Doesn't it make very simple sense that if I'm filled with heaven's wind, Rabba Pashitilero Navakataba?